Tonight's jazz track is with the trumpet player and flugelhornist John Worley Jr., co-hosted by Stephen Mara and Bill Hedge of ApplauseCast. We'll be discussing his life as a working musician, composer, recording artist, and teacher, as well as taking a director's cut from his CD, Worldview. John Worley will be performing in San Jose Jazz Society Summer Jazz Series at Santana Row on Tuesday, May 9th, 2006. Join us now at the offices of the San Jose Jazz Society with jazz artist John Worley Jr. So, John, let's talk a little bit about Worldview. We've heard the cut from it. What were you thinking about when you put it together? What was your goal with the CD?
The goal of the CD was to give an accurate representation of the various styles of music that I've had the pleasure of playing.
But no circus music?
No circus music.
No.
Well, actually, I mean, maybe a little bit in there, but, you know, my concept for my first CD was going to be something more along the line of kind of like New York avant-garde jazz.
Mm-hmm.
But when I asked Wayne Wallace to be the producer, he mentioned to me, he says, you know, you're playing in a lot of Latin jazz groups right now. People really know you for that. Why don't we put together something that has the Latin jazz influence? And I said, oh, mm-hmm. That's terrific. Mm-hmm. So we got together and we listened to some tunes. We played through some of some tunes that I wrote that we adapted to the Latin jazz style.
Mm-hmm.
And also I was working with a gentleman named Ed Johnson, who's got an incredible band called Novo Tempo. And his band plays a primarily Brazilian influenced jazz.
Mm-hmm.
And when I would go and play in his band, it would be so musically and emotionally satisfying. And I thought to myself, you know, I want my project to not only reflect that to other people so they can pick up on that vibe, but I also want to feel like that when I play my own music. And a lot of times, I mean, I don't know if you've ever played avant-garde music, but there's a lot of angst involved and there's a lot of dissonance. And I really wanted to bring people in and interest people rather than maybe push them away a little sonically. So
you wanted the music more accessible.
I wanted it to be more accessible, but at the same time still reflect a variety of all the different styles of music that I've had the fortune to be able to play.
Yeah, Bobby Shue, who on your website you have a number of commentaries and what looked almost like letters or emails back to you from various people you know about the CD. And Bobby Shue, who has a varied and stellar trumpet career, you know, Art Pepper, Bud Shank, Horace Silver, the Bill Holman Big Band, Oliver Nelson, Maynard Ferguson. He said the CD was like a potpourri of influences. He could hear Clark Terry, Tom Harrell, Miles, and Freddie Hubbard in there. And when I heard it, I was very impressed with the variety and the eclectic nature of all the music. I think you hit your target. It's pretty amazing. Let's talk a little bit about Wayne Wallace. Would you consider him a co-producer, or do you think he did most of the production work on it?
I feel like he did a majority of the production work. Mm-hmm. I mean, the producer work. I mean, Wayne's concept is just so stellar. I mean, mm-hmm. so many bands in the Bay Area that have used his influence or has his influence in their music. It's really tremendous. I've been playing in Wayne's band for, I don't know, 12 years now
mm-hmm.
or so.
Mm-hmm.
And to me, Wayne is like, he's like the musical godfather.
Mm-hmm.
of the Bay Area. I mean, his influence has reached so many people. So he was a natural choice.
He's got an amazing pedigree.
He
played with Count Basie Orchestra, John Handy, Bobby Hutcherson, Sonny Rollins, McCoy Tyner, Tony Williams, even Ray Charles, and Earth, Wind & Fire. And more commercially, Earth, Wind & Fire, Boz Scaggs, and even Gladys Knight. That's an amazing pedigree.
Oh, yeah. Wayne's played with everybody. I mean, they call him the Doctor. That's his nickname, the Doctor. Because he's just, I can't say enough about Wayne Wallace. To me, he's mm-hmm. probably the most influential musician in the Bay Area to me.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, whether it's Latin jazz, big band jazz, even educationally. I mean, he's involved with different jazz camps, and mm-hmm. you know, he's a Latin jazz music professor at San Jose State. Mm-hmm. We were colleagues at San Francisco State together in the music department for mm-hmm. a while. To me, Wayne is the man.
So he helped you made you go down paths that you wouldn't have chosen otherwise, do you think?
My concept for the CD was to have these people work together to create this sound, and we all had a role in it. And mm-hmm. Wayne's job was to produce the CD and bring his influences and his production knowledge and arranging and this and that. I felt that having Wayne as a producer would bring an element to the project that really reflects the sound of the San Francisco Bay Area. Mm-hmm. And because everybody has Wayne work with them.
Mm-hmm.
And his influences from all these people he's played with have enabled him to create this sound. And that's a sound that I wanted. And his arranging skills were tremendous. Mm-hmm. He arranged Worldview, Out of the Night Came You, which was written by Horace Silver.
Mm-hmm.
He arranged and composed Pasando el Tiempo.
Mm-hmm.
He wrote Musing. And Jazz Is, that was a concept that I had. And I gave him co-composer credits because he came up with the rhythm section thing, the funk groove and everything.
Uh-huh, uh-huh.
And he played the synthesizer on there. Where it says, jazz is like an open breeze.
Yeah.
You know, that was incredible.
Yeah.
Yeah, his influence is huge.
Mm-hmm.
I don't take 100% credit for everything.
Mm-hmm.
I never do because I know that everybody contributes. And I really feel strongly about that because I've played in bands where everybody did the legwork, everybody played, everybody shaped the music, everybody worked collectively to make the music what it is,
mm-hmm.
and the leader took the credit.
Mm-hmm.
And nobody got anything else except a paycheck. Mm-hmm. And to me, I don't believe in that. My thing is I give everybody the credit that they deserve.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, because it's not one man's, you know, it's not one man's effort. It's everybody's effort.
Yeah, it's called band for a reason, right?
Exactly. And that's why a majority of the folks in the band have stayed with me for the last few years.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So let's move on to some of the other people. Sebastian Lanson, French guitarist.
Yeah, Sebastian was a student at College of San Mateo,
mm-hmm.
where he met Fred Berry, who was one of my mentors. And he played in the band at CSM, and Fred is also the jazz professor and runs the big band at Stanford University,
mm-hmm.
the Stanford Jazz Orchestra. And Fred invited myself and my wife to come with them when they went to Europe in 2000, and Sebastian was playing guitar in the band.
Mm-hmm.
And I was really impressed not only by Sebastian's playing, but the fact that he's such a genuine human being. And just one of the nicest people you'd ever meet on the planet.
Mm-hmm.
And I remember we were sitting up on a balcony in Montreux looking over the water. And I said, man, we're going to record someday together. And you're going to play on my CD. And he says, oh, that'd be great, you know, but, you know, whatever, you know. And I said, no, honest, it's going to happen. I'm going to record a CD and you're going to be on it. And he said, okay. So 2 years later, I had him come in and play guitar on my CD on a couple of tunes,
mm-hmm.
and he played incredible. His contribution to ED was fantastic. Mm-hmm. I mean, it was just unbelievable. And in the meantime, I produced his CD, which is called In Transition,
mm-hmm.
on my label, Dancing Sumo Records,
mm-hmm.
and we had a variety of musicians. Wayne contributed a couple of arrangements to that, played trombone. We had Phil Lawrence on Barry Sax, and we had John Santos from the Machete Ensemble play
mm-hmm.
percussion and other folks. So Sebastian's a very good friend of mine. He's one of my dearest friends.
Let's talk a little bit about Kristen Strom, alto tenor player.
Yeah, Kristen and I play in a band, play in Ed Johnson's Novo Tempo Man.
Mm-hmm.
And Chris Strom is, I consider, my musical horn-playing soulmate.
Mm-hmm.
We think together, we phrase together, her intonation is impeccable. To play with her is a complete joy. She's mm-hmm. one of the most musical sax players I've ever played with. And her solo on Why Wait, the Stanley Clarke tune,
mm-hmm.
to me is when we're listening to that on the playback, I was flipping out because to me that was like the best solo, and I mm-hmm. still love that solo. I consider that the best solo on the CD. Mm-hmm. I just love it. And speaking of Why Wait, I was Wayne and I, Wayne again. You know, mm-hmm. he was a musical director for the horn section for Stanley Clark whenever he would come to town, and we would play up at Yoshi's. Stanley asked me and the tenor player if we would play this tune with him called Why Wait. It's a tune that he wrote that was he recorded with Freddie Hubbard and Joe Henderson and Chick Corea, Lenny White, so on. And it was a tune that when I first heard in the 70s, I transcribed the whole thing. It was such an incredible tune. And I couldn't believe, you know, 30 years later, Stanley asked me to play that tune with him. So after the week was over, I said, Stanley, you know, I'm going to do a record, and I would really like it if I could record that tune. And he says, sure, go ahead. Just send me the CD. Mm-hmm. And so I recorded it, and it got actually the most airplay out of any of those tunes.
Oh, interesting. Yeah. Interesting. Jim Norton, tenor sax.
Jim Norton is probably one of the most brilliant composers, players that I've ever played with. Mm-hmm. His mind is so vast. He can play any style of music. He's currently doing a lot of show music right now, playing mm-hmm. theater stuff. He plays in the John Jank 7, which I'm a part of, and Wayne is a part of. Mm-hmm. And I've been playing with Jim since 1977. And I remember a friend of ours introduced us at the Almaden Reservoir in San Jose, mm-hmm. and he said I'm gonna introduce you to the sax player, and he loves free jazz just like you. And I said, okay, yeah, well, that'd be great. So we went up to the Almaden Reservoir, and Brad and Jim and I sat up there and played free jazz for hours. When we had a band called Brilliant Corners that was together for about 12 years, we played all over the Bay Area. It was kind of an organized free jazz group. We played a lot of music from Thelonious Monk, Charles Mingus, Sun Ra, and we had a large repertoire of Jim's work in the library. Mm-hmm. We had players in there like Jeff Kressman on trombone, who plays with Santana, Matt Fenders on trombone, who's on the Tonight Show band, actually, mm-hmm. and Jeff Ballard, who played with Chick Corea and various guys. He played in a band. And, you know, mind you, we're all pretty young. You know, it was just a bunch of young guys just going for broke. Mm-hmm. You know, we knew we weren't going to get rich doing it, but we just really wanted to play. Mm-hmm. And Jim's writing has always been really advanced. His concept in music, I mean, if you would look at some of the stuff that we played music with graphs, with cymbals. He's constantly composing. He composes every day. He gets up and writes music for 2 hours. Mm. That's the first thing he does. He has his coffee and writes music. And he's been doing that since 1977. And he's got an incredible library of music. Mm-hmm. So to me, Jim is one of the most brilliant minds in music that I've ever met.
Mm-hmm. So Murray Lowe, piano?
Murray Lowe. Murray Lowe is probably, he's incredible too. I mean, he can play anything. We're going to do a concert at the Kwumba next month, and it's going to be an overview of the jazz trumpet, the history of the jazz trumpet from Louis Armstrong and Cornet Chop Suey to Woody Shaw, Rawson's Run. And I chose Murray to work with me on this because Murray can play every style. All he has to do is listen to it once, and bang, he can nail it.
So tell me about the format of this. You're going to be playing basically all these trumpet styles from like about, I guess, shortly after the turn of the century, right? 1910,
right.
Something like that, moving up all the way through modern jazz technique.
Right.
That's eclectic.
Oh, yeah. I'm going to have instruments from the different periods that I'll play. Mm-hmm. I'll play cornet, I'll play trumpet, I'll play my flugelhorn. I'm also going to have an arrangement of all blues, Miles Davis's All Blues, mm-hmm. and then I'll invite various trumpet students that are going to be there to come up and play this arrangement with me, and I'll just give different, demonstrations on some of the tunes and the characteristic differences, you know, like, say, between Louis Armstrong and Roy Eldridge, mm-hmm. or Dizzy Gillespie and Miles Davis, you know.
Yeah, it's like that notion of standing on the shoulders of giants. You can't be a giant without standing on the shoulders of giants.
Oh, you know? Yeah. I mean, and, you can hear the lineage.
Hear the lineage all the way through all those sounds. That's great. Jason Lewis, drums.
Him and John Shiflett are pretty much inseparable.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, they play together all the time. When I wanted to do some straight-ahead stuff, for instance, Why Wait? Mm-hmm. They were the perfect choice to have play, mm-hmm. To have them play that tune because they're so in the pocket, mm-hmm. and they recorded with Boss Skaggs. I don't know, Boss Skaggs,
mm-hmm.
and they record with everybody. Taylor Eigsti, they're the real deal.
And nothing makes a band kick better than a bass player and drums who are like matched at the hip.
Oh yeah,
It's just amazing. Paul van Bakeningen from the Netherlands, drums.
I play with him in Wayne Wallace's band.
Mm-hmm.
He's right in the pocket with that style.
Mm-hmm.
I used him and Dave Belove primarily for the Latin jazz side of the CD.
Mm-hmm.
And
electric bass.
Electric bass. Mm-hmm. And those two guys, are like Jason Lewis and John Shiflett. They're inseparable.
Mm-hmm.
They play in all these different bands together. They work together. They groove together. They've been playing together for years. They're both outstanding musicians.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And they both play in Wayne's band.
Jesus Diaz.
Jesus I used on the CD. I work with him with Wayne's band and mm-hmm. a couple other bands, and he's a great conga player.
William Minenfield, vocalist.
Him and I played in a band called The Chain of Fools. Mm-hmm. And he's an incredible singer. He's also the music pastor for his church up in Sacramento. And when I wanted to record Jazz Is, I wanted somebody that would recite the poetry that I wrote, not in a rap fashion so much, but mm-hmm. more of like kind of like a modern Jack Kerouac.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, sort of Beat Generation kind of thing, right?
Yeah. Yeah, and I wanted his energy on my CD. It's just like everybody on the CD is they're real people. Their energy is genuine. They're honest. Mm-hmm. And those are the people I wanted on my CD. Mm-hmm. And that quality was really important to me.
Yeah. So tell us about some of the other groups that you play with.
Currently, I'm playing with the John Jang 7. John Jang is a pianist in the Bay Area here. He's been playing with Max Roach, David Murray, few of the folks, James Newton. I played in John's band back in 1988. He had a band called the Pan Asian Orchestra.
Mm-hmm. Is that still around?
No, he was talking about bringing that back, but then he decided to start this other band, and he called it the John Jang 7. We had one of our debut performances at the Monterey Jazz Festival last year,
mm-hmm.
and his music's tremendous. He takes Chinese folk songs and converts them to converts them with the jazz influence to have a whole different sound.
Mm-hmm.
I play in Wayne's group. We're getting ready to record his third and fourth album, and we're going to be playing a record release party in November at Yoshi's. I play in Ed Johnson's group Novo Tempo, and that's a Brazilian jazz influence group. That band is one of my favorite bands. I mean, I love all these bands, but Ed Johnson's band is one of the most tremendous bands that I've ever got a chance to play in. The feeling on stage is like no other. I mean, it's beautiful. It's overwhelming, actually, because Ed's like 6'2" guitar player. He's got a voice. He can sing up to high F. He writes these incredible tunes, and the people that we work with, Chris Strom on saxophones, Renee Wurst, a bass player from Vancouver, Canada, and his wife Jennifer Scott, who plays piano and has an incredible voice, Mark Ivester, who plays with Jovino Santos Neto, he's from Seattle, and Michelle Gorlitz, who plays currently in my band, percussion. It's just, we go up and we play these gigs, And it's like there's a smile on my face from the beginning of the gig to the end.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's really heartfelt music.
And I understand you may be, or you are, heading to Monterey.
Yeah, Worldview is going to play Monterey Jazz Festival this year, which to me is incredible. because the last 15 years I played there, I think 12 times with a lot of other bands. I played there with Don Byron's band, tribute to Bobby Hutcherson with McCoy Tyner and Billy Childs. And last year I was there with Carla Bley and Steve Swallow, their big band on the main stage, and with John Jang's band. And so I'm really excited about having this band play.
And which day and date are you playing?
It's September 16th, I believe, on the Garden Stage, 9:45 p.m.
And I bet that's, is that a Saturday?
That's a Saturday night.
Saturday.
Yeah.
Cool.
Yeah, it's really cool, man. I'm just excited. Yeah.
What's the advice that you'd give to any young, in your case, a trumpet player, but any young musician about if they're really inspired to work in the music industry, what are the traits that they need to learn about? What do they need to be able to do?
Well, I think, first of all, they have to practice, of course. You know, they have to practice. They have to dedicate themselves to the instrument, and they have to dedicate themselves to the bands and school that they play in, you know, because that's really important, because you learn so much about music from playing in school. And I think that when they get out of high school, you know, let's assume that, you know, they start in the fifth grade, they play junior high, they play through high school, they really get into it, they decide, I want to do this either for a living or I want to teach or whatever it is, you know, that they go to college and they study and they finish college. I think that's very important. But also, at the same time, I think it's really important for them to have a business background too. So I would highly encourage any young student to develop a good business sense, because, you know, the music business is a business. It's not all fun and games. And if you don't treat it like a business, then you'll be taken advantage of, and which happens to a lot of people. But I think the most important thing too is, I mean, you don't get anywhere unless you practice, unless you study and you live it. You have to live it, because if you don't live it, then you don't get the feeling of really earning what you do. You have to play in all these different bands. You have to study with so many different people. It's important to not just have the influence of one person, but you should study with many different people. I've taken lessons from classical players, from lead trumpets, from jazz trumpet players. You know, it's important to get a well-rounded education. Yeah. And go to the jazz camp sponsored by the San Jose Jazz Society, because that camp, it's a 2-week camp. Not only do you learn something about musicianship, ear training, jazz improvisation, but you get to play in big bands and small groups, and you are surrounded by an assortment of like-minded individuals that are there to do the same thing as you.
This has been an ApplauseCast production. If you'd like to have ApplauseCast produce a podcast for you or your organization, email us at sales@applausecast.com or call us at 650-400-3929.